Are you curious about how to use film and television in class? Jacob Blickenstaff offers some tips, and it's not just about finding where Hollywood screwed up.
As you're getting started on a new school year, I thought I'd use this podcast to give some general tips and suggestions on how to make use of popular movies and TV in your science classroom. To save you time in the video store, I'll also include an example to go with each suggestion. First, and this is probably my favorite option, is to have students collect data from a short segment and use that data in a quick calculation. For example, scientifically-minded reviewers who wrote on Pixar's Up this summer were curious how many helium balloons it would take to hold up a house. Another favorite of mine goes all the way back to Spider-Man 2, where Spidey stops an elevated train full of passengers before it runs out of track. I've asked physics students to do a rough calculation of how much force it took for Spidey to stop the train. The filmmakers are good enough to show us the initial speed of the train. We can measure the time he's applying the force, and we just need to estimate the mass of the train and passengers. Next, as a check for students' ability to apply a science lesson in a new context, you might play a short segment of a film and ask students to find scientific errors in the scene. In this case, the specific film depends greatly on the topic you want to review. If you just taught sound, you might show a scene from Star Wars where we can hear spaceships zooming by even though there's no material to carry sound in space. If you're teaching geography or time zones, you might show the scene near the end of Jumper, where characters teleport around the globe and the changes from night to day have no bearing on the actual arrangement of the sun and earth. As a more extended application of scientific thinking outside the classroom, you might consider a long-term assignment to have students bring their observations of either good or bad science in movies to class and deliver a brief report to their peers. A short description of the scene and an explanation of what science concept or misconception it depicted would be enough. I would consider giving extra credit to students who find examples from movies outside the science fiction or action genres, as that illustrates the fact that science is all around us. My review last fall of The Devil Wears Prada, where I discussed pressure under high heels versus flats and reflections in car windows, is an example of this sort of application. Finally, if you have a whole class period available, you could show an extended segment of a movie or a full episode of a show like Mythbusters. The main concern with a long film is keeping students' attention on the content you want them to take away from the video. I've found that worksheets with questions for every 5 to 10 minutes were successful when I had students watch long video segments. I also always try to match the content of these videos to topics I've covered recently in class or plan to cover soon. I might show Dante's Peak in an earth science class and have students look for misunderstandings of volcanic eruptions depicted in the movie. I hope these ideas will inspire some of you to try incorporating at least a little bit of Hollywood science into your classroom as a way to bridge the gap between school science and students' everyday lives.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.